Now, seeing if you could turn your Bibles to Psalm 30, and this is a chapter I read a few weeks ago, and it was very helpful to me, and the Lord spoke to me through it. And I've titled this message, The Christian Experience. Obviously, it doesn't cover all the Christian experience, but hopefully it will be helpful to us this evening. We'll read from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favour you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothe me with gladness, to the end that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been 18 months since I last brought God's word to you, and it's been a very challenging and difficult time in my life, as you know, but God is very good, and I pray he's strengthening me and working his will in my life. And I pray the Lord has a work for me and a plan for me. I know he has, but do continue to pray for me. But this evening I want to turn to Psalm 30, and we've read that together. And I want to do firstly just a quick overview of the psalm, and then focus on a few points. Well, most commentators believe that this psalm was a psalm of dedication of David's own house to the Lord after a very difficult, trouble-filled life. David was coming to the end of his time of war, and he had peace. And this is a dedication psalm from David. So we'll go fairly quickly through the verses to start with, and then we'll look in more detail. So verse 1, praise to God who has lifted us up. Verse 2, David cried to God and he healed him. It was a serious issue. David saw this issue as a very serious issue. He had to be healed. It was a serious spiritual problem. God forgives completely, a complete turnaround or restoration happens. Verse 3, his soul was dead to God. You know, we can be cold to God at times, can't we? Our Father in heaven is the one who draws us back, and he restores us. And for believers, death has no sting for us. Verse 4, David now breaks into song. Praise God. Remember his glory and majesty and holiness. And David is making us focus again on God's power and glory and majesty and holiness. Verse 5, God brings difficulty upon us for our good, and the blessing is eternal. God is our loving Heavenly Father. In Hebrews 12, verse 7, I'll just read it, you don't need to turn. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So this is God's fatherly care for us in dealing with us. And the glorious end of our faith is remarkable, isn't it? Joy comes in the morning. His favour is for life. And it reminds me of my dad. And I think, well, that's where he is now. He's come to the end of that weeping and the sorrow and pain. Joy has come. He's in a place of perfect joy. Verse 6 and 7, and this really is the core of the chapter around which the rest of it revolves. This is the big problem which has separated all of us from our Father, and that's our pride. And David has had an issue with pride, and this is what has caused all of the difficulties. So pride really is a big view of us and a small view of God. And we will come back to that. That's one of the points from later. Verse 8, go to God with your problems. He is the only place of hope. You can only go to the Lord. He's the only one who can help. Verse 9 and 10, plead your case. Remember Moses in Exodus 32. In terms of this, a few verses here. Exodus 32, verse 9. This is how Moses pleads with God for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, I've seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. So bring your case before the Lord. Plead your case. Bring the promises of God to his people. Bring those to the throne of grace and plead your case. In verse 11, the great contrast of being in and out, in or out of the Lord's will. And then finally, verse 12, the psalm ends in rejoicing in the same way as it began. So, as I mentioned, the central theme of this psalm really is the terrible fall that pride brings. And that's our first point, is our root problem is pride. And that's really from verse 6. Let's read that again. Now, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. You know, all it takes is a moment of self-reliance, a questioning of what God has said, and our world comes crashing down. Eve knew in the garden what God had said, but one moment of questioning, the devil obviously tempted her, and the seed of self-reliance and pride is sown and grows. How much damage pride has done in our world and in our own lives. The angry response when someone dares to question us. That warm feeling when someone congratulates us on an achievement. A half-truth to present us in a better light. Or just the comfortable cruising through life when things are going well. Pride infiltrates every part of our lives, and we all know that. We know that we've experienced that, and it's something that is loathsome to us, isn't it? The problem with pride is we believe we are self-sufficient and we're coping fine on our own. We think we're doing all right. We don't need God. And that's the problem with atheism and many other religions. They don't see any need for God. We don't need God, or not the God of the Bible. When Jesus calls us to follow him and come to him as little children, I'm not talking in terms of spiritual maturity here, but independence as little children. He is seriously calling us to humble ourselves in every part of our life, to keep a small view of ourselves and acknowledge the greatness of our God, to come as a child, to be dependent on God, hand to mouth. As a child comes to its father or its mother hungry, we come in the same way to God. See, David was doing well, wasn't he? I can cope by myself. And that's when the problems came. Beware, pride creeps up on us sometimes. We think maybe all the bases are covered. We're doing okay. You know, life's going well. Life is good. And, you know, all God has to do is to turn or hide his face, and our world comes crashing down. Somebody once said, I think, you know, our world can be turned upside down by one phone call. And God, all he has to do is turn his face away from us, and we're in despair. Doesn't it say, the Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. Verse 7, you hid your face and I was troubled. And troubled is a very weak word there. He was in distress. His world fell apart. So our root problem, point number one, is pride. The second point is God's gracious protection. Now, if you look at verse 1, let's read that again. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. And one of the commentators mentions how it's so remarkable that David's enemies were not able to rejoice at his failing, his falling and his failings. But it's quite incredible when you think about David's enemies were out to get him. They were looking for every opportunity to trip him up. And yet God protected him. You know, I have to look at myself and think, how is it possible that my enemies, those that are looking to knock me down, don't see all of my myriad of failings and all of my problems, all of the mistakes I've made, all the ways I've let the Lord down so many times. And yet, somehow, I still have a testimony before the world. People still know I'm a Christian and they know there's something different about me. Yet, what about all my failings? What about all my faults and all the things I've done? Well, I believe there's something quite supernatural in God's protection of his people here. He seems to blind the eyes of the world to our many failings and shines forth the pale reflection of Christ's character in us. So it's like they don't see all of our faults and yet they see something of Christ in us. Now that's remarkable, isn't it? That they look at me with all of my sin, all of my failings, and they see something of Christ. Well, that's God's gracious protection of us. That's God stepping in. And the last point I wanted us to look at this evening is from verse 11 and 12. I want to end on a positive note. Verse 11 and 12. True fellowship with God is transforming. True fellowship with God is transforming. Now, I used to work in a church in London with a young man in the youth work. We were quite close and we prayed together regularly. And over a 4-week period, I knew something was wrong, but I saw my friend descend into the darkest of places spiritually. Slowly but surely, his walk with God dried up. And he began blaming God and getting incredibly angry. By God's grace, he came out of that pit. And talking with him afterwards, he explained the terrible darkness of that period of time. How he never wanted to be there again. He never wanted to go there again. It was very much like a spiritual deadness. Now, I know we can't lose our faith. We can't lose our salvation. But at times, we can be so cold, we can be so distant from the Lord. It's almost like a spiritual deadness. And David had known that return from the grave of spiritual deadness. Look at verse 3. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. David had known what it's like to be in a terrible distant and a cold and a hard place. We all go through times of hardness and coldness when our Father seems distant, and perhaps we don't seem to care. You know, I've experienced the times when things just go all wrong and I'm distant from the Lord, and it's like I just don't care, and you become angry and you become bitter against God. But verse 11 and 12 graphically explain the difference that this spiritual life had on David. And as I mentioned, no one can lose their salvation, cannot be lost, but we can grow cold. Look at these contrasts. So verse 11. You've turned for me my mourning. Now, mourning is one of the saddest places, one of the most low places you can go mourning, especially someone who's dearly loved and precious to you. But God has transformed this mourning into dancing. It's like the opposite extreme. It reminded me a little bit of the paralytic man who the Lord healed. And, you know, the Sunday school song, he went walking and leaping and praising God. Well, it's a bit like that, from mourning to leaping and praising God, outbursts of joy. The clothes of mourning have been laid aside. So the sackcloth has been taken away and we've been clothed with gladness. That's wonderful, isn't it? What a wonderful picture. God's taken away that heaviness, that coldness, and he's given us gladness. And in verse 12, his soul can't keep silent. He must praise God. To that end, my glory or my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You know, we need this joy. This is the joy that we need in our life. Joy that comes from a true understanding of our state, our so needy, so weak, so sinful, prone to wander, and God's wonderful grace in Jesus Christ. We must be joyful about this. We were dead. We were lost. God punished his own son so that we could live, so we could be free. We're going to glory. You know, we need that joy. We need the joy of the Lord. So just to finish with this evening, you know, if you're spiritually cold tonight and you're lost away a bit and you're struggling, do what David has done here. Cry out to the Lord. Lay your case before him. Bring the promises of God before him. Plead your case. He's a loving Father in heaven and he will hear our cry. He will raise us up from the depth, from the pit, and give us the oil of gladness. I want to finish by just reading Isaiah 61 and verse 1. To four, Isaiah 61 and verse 1 to 4. And you'll know this passage quite well. The Lord quotes it. And when he stands in the temple and preaches, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So the verses we're reading here, this is the ministry of our Saviour. This is what the Lord has been sent to do. To preach good tidings to the poor, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. That's remarkable, isn't it? Beauty for ashes. That's what we are, ashes. Dirty, vile, beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. So he's coming into our experience. He's going to give us the oil of joy, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Well, praise God. That's what he does in our lives. We do go for ups and downs, but the Lord is sovereign. He's on the throne and he is working in us.